Today on New Letters on the Air, we have a special treat for you, a chorus of voices to celebrate contemporary poetry by American women. We'll hear from Jo McDougall, Michelle Boisseau, Robin Bain, Dorianne Locks, Alice Fryman, and Andrea Hollander Buddy, who talks about editing this anthology, When She Named Fire.
There are female poets who speak language I understand and care about and articulate the world in a way that I recognize. And I suppose that when I thought about it, I thought about it this way. I care about poetry. I'm a cheerleader for poetry. And this is one way to bring poets together that deserve to be read.
Stay with us for a celebration of American women poets on this edition of New Letters on the Air, a production of the University of Missouri, Kansas City. I'm Angela Elam. In the Ozark Mountains of Arkansas, Andrea Hollander Buddy has been busy, not only writing her own poetry, but culling through hundreds of poems by her contemporaries to include in this collection, When She Named Fire. It was published by Autumn House Press in 2009, so Andrea Hollander Buddy hit the road and gathered a few of these poets together to read at the Writer's Place in Kansas City, where Allery Tenniel introduced her.
In Andrea's poem, Woman in the Painting, she wrote, "Her face has disappeared. This happens more often than you think." Those lines haunted me, and I'm grateful for Andrea's anthology that brings together a chorus of 96 American women from our best contemporary poets. In addition to editing When She Named Fire, Andrea Hollander Buddy has written three full-length poetry collections, including Woman in the Painting, The Other Life, and House Without a Dreamer, which won the Nicholas Roerich Poetry Prize. Since 1991, she has been the writer-in-residence at Lyon College. Please welcome Andrea Hollander Buddy.
Thank you, Allery. I have to start out by admitting that the anthology itself was not my idea. It was the idea of Michael Sims, the editor-in-chief of Autumn House Press. And this was in 2007 when he invited me to do this. I thought, why an anthology of contemporary poetry by American women? And I remembered that when I was 22 years old in 1969, and was beginning to write my own poems, I went out and got some anthologies of contemporary poetry. Mark Strand had edited a poetry collection called American Poetry Since 1940. It was published by the Academy of American Poets. And in it were 92 poets, 13 of whom were women. And they were wonderful poets and wonderful poems. But by that time, I was hoping for more instruction from women. And I don't think of myself at that time as someone who even understood what feminism was. I was not a graduate student anywhere. I was just an ordinary woman who had been writing poems and verses since I'd been a little girl. And I frankly needed more model poets who happened to be writing about the things I was thinking about, some of which were things that men were thinking about, but many of which were not. Well, a few years later, 4 years later to be exact, two women-only poetry anthologies were published, No More Masks and Rising Tides, and were gobbled up immediately. You probably know that about 1970, so between Mark Strand's anthology and these two, the women's movement, as it was called, had begun. And these books were of great use to me, to make me feel as though I was not writing alone. By 1984, 11 years after the two women-only anthologies, another important anthology came out called 50 Years of American Poetry. And its quote on the cover said, "Over 200 important works by American masters." These were 126 poets. Only 27 of those poets were women. So things hadn't changed a lot. And even as recently as 2003, the Vintage Book of Contemporary Poetry, edited by J.D. McClatchy, contains 75 poets, only 25 of whom are women. Now, I didn't agree to take on this project simply because I wanted to even the score. I remember thinking about a few poems that I had fallen in love with by women poets, and I'd never seen them in anthologies, and so I felt as though they were going to be lost unless someone else cheered them on. So you will discover in this group of 96 women poets you've heard of and some you've not heard of. That's how it happened for me. But I think you will also find, of the 461 poems, poems you'll want to come back to. The audience for this book is not an audience of women only. It's an audience of human beings. And I'm going to do something that I think you'll find fun. I asked the poets to tell me something about themselves, both about their literary lives, but also a little about their lives that are not literary. So, Joe McDougall's 5 books of poetry include, most recently, Dirt and Satisfied with Havoc, both from Autumn House Press. Towns Facing Railroads, a production featuring her work, was staged at the Arkansas Repertory Theater in 2006. Recently, she was named to the Arkansas Writers Hall of Fame. Associate Professor Emerita at Pittsburgh State University in Kansas, she serves on the board of directors for The Writer's Place. She and her husband Charles are owned by Star, a registered Sheltie, and Spike, a found cat. Welcome, Joe McDougall.
Thank you, Andrea, for putting together this really important anthology. I am fascinated by the variety of voices and the work it took to get this put together. And I'm honored to be in it with her and Michelle and Robin, and glad to be reading with such distinguished poets. In choosing the poems to read tonight, I noticed that they fall into a theme of lust and love, which are, as far as I know, fairly inseparable. At least we've all made that mistake in our lives. And this is about lust that has sort of gone wrong, as it often does. Dumb. You would think the dog, lemon-sized brain notwithstanding, would understand by now that the truck with the broken muffler passing down our street each night is not his master's truck and will not turn into our driveway, the familiar key will not undress itself in our lock. Still, he bounds to the door at the muffler's first faint cough. Thus hope outfoxes reason, the dog and I growing dumber by the week. And to continue the lust and sort of love idea from Satisfied with Havoc. Boyfriend. We were both in high school, 16, me headed for college. They said he was bad. They said his dad was the one who had bitten off the sheriff's ear the night the sheriff came looking for the steel. I'd hang around the gym after the football team finished its practice, hoping to see him. I lied to my mother. I saw brightness, saw us dancing, saw children who had his eyes. Even now, I can smell the wood smoke in his jacket. He never got out of the 12th grade. They said he went to work for the highway. The girl he got pregnant was 13. She wasn't from around here. As Andrea knows and Robin knows, in the South, that's the worst thing you can say. She's not from around here.
Bless her heart.
And she, bless her heart. You got it. and from Satisfied with Havoc. A little more poem about actual love. This is called Married, which I am, for a long time. Tonight, I ask my husband to help me remember names for the breeds of chickens he and I grew up with, living on neighboring farms, from the far, tall grasses, he calls them. Wyandottes, Dominiques, Barred Rocks, Rhode Island Reds, Silver Spangled Hamburgs, Leghorns, Anconas, Buff Orpingtons. Mother used to call them buff orphans, I interrupt. We laugh. He remembers my mother. Evening settles itself, whispering snow. The kitchen nightlight makes a tiny moon on the wall. Thank you.
Joe McDougall, reading at a celebration of the anthology, When She Named Fire, recorded at the Writer's Place in Kansas City. This is New Letters on the Air.
And now for the star of our show, Andrea Buddy.
So I spent 2 years putting the anthology together, and really, the first 10 months I did nothing but read wonderful books by my contemporaries, and I will have to say that my only real sadness about the project was that I couldn't put as many poems into it. There were poets missing here that I wished could be here. But you'll still get a pretty good sense of what women are writing about today. Most of you know Michelle Boisseau. Her most recent book, A Sunday in God Years, is just out from the University of Arkansas Press. Most recent until now is Trembling Air, which was a Penn USA Award finalist, and Understory, which won the Morse Prize from Northeastern University Press. She's also co-author of Writing Poems, a very popular text used in colleges and universities all over this country. She's a professor of English here at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. One reviewer of Michelle's book, Trembling Air, said the following about her poems. They are gritty and honest and delicate all at once. Please welcome Michelle Boisseau.
So I thought I'd read a poem that I wrote when I was in my 20s, before I ever met my husband. I mean, it's fun that Andrea picked this poem, because it's like, this book's out of print, and I haven't looked at this poem for a long time. But anyway, this is called Counting. After a while, remembering the men you loved is like counting stars. From the arbitrary constellations, you pick out those the brightest, then the others, dimmer and dimmer, until you can't tell if they're real or only reflections from your eyes watering with the strain. The body's memory is a poor thing, ask the adopted child who falls asleep against any steady heart to a lullaby in any language. Between my first lover who was thin and my second who was warm and nostalgic, my arms remember little. Though, yes, there was one who had that sweet smell in his skin of a child who drinks nothing but milk, a milk ladled out by the big and little dippers. If you look up long enough into the night sky, it becomes sure of itself, and you less sure, whether you're lying on the lawn, skirt tucked against mosquitoes, a cigarette about to burn your fingers, or if you're falling and the sky is a net that can't catch you, since like everyone else, you are water, nothing can stop. So you lie on your bed all night staring at the cracks in the ceiling, terrified of falling through. I had one of my old boyfriends, and my first book came out, sent me a letter that he'd seen my book. He read it, and he was really disappointed that he wasn't one of the named constellations. Yeah. Thank you.
I was interested in the comment that Michelle made about my finding a poem of hers from her first book. And one of the things I did in putting the book together is I didn't want to just put the most recent work or the oldest work of the women whose work appears. And I tried to be eclectic in terms of my reading. I tried to read everything that each of the poets had written and then try to select poems that felt like a sense of that poet. So not just the most recent, and maybe some people cringed when they found out what I had chosen, but we worked it out. So I thank you. Robin Bain is the author of three poetry collections, most recently Horizon Note, which won the Brittingham Prize from the University of Wisconsin Press. She's also co-editor of The Practice of Poetry, Writing Exercises from Poets Who Teach. She lives in Birmingham, Alabama, with her son, Simon. And she also teaches in the MFA program at the University of Alabama and for the Vermont College of Fine Arts low residency program. Please welcome Robin Bain.
Thank you so much, Andrea, for this enormous, several year long labor of love. If you've ever done an anthology, you have a sense that you wouldn't have otherwise of how day after day, hour after hour, unremittingly, you have to apply yourself to the task. And some of it's really fun because you get to talk to other writers and be in contact with people. And a lot of it is just like shoveling dirt. It's just getting the permissions and getting people to return your emails. And you have to be dogged about it, and it's an enormous labor of love, and I just really thank you for doing it. And my favorite anthology example is when I first discovered international poetry, which was going to have an enormous influence on my own work. It was Mark Strand and Charles Simic's book called Another Republic, 13 European and South American Poets. And when you open it up, they're all men. And when you come up in a culture like that as a woman trying to write, it's like no one's mentioning that and talking about that. At least I think now we're talking about it. So I think it is important we take occasions to celebrate the work of any kind of group of writers who tends to be excluded from things. And so in that vein, it's a delight to read from the anthology, My Hair. When I gather my long leaf-colored hair and make of it a stem and twist the handle of my head and join it back to me with metal pins, I'm on your lap again. My hands are in the air. My view is mile upon mile. I feel you fashioning the serpent on my head and the thick braid of you inside me. I'm ready now to enter a prim public place where I am the teacher, the police, a saint. I turn my back, and everyone I command sees what it can be to be commanded. Thank you.
Robin Bain, reading her poem, My Hair, part of the 2009 anthology of contemporary poetry by American women called When She Named Fire. To mark the publication of this book, these poets gathered at the Writer's Place in Kansas City to read their works along with poems by others in the book. But since New Letters on the Air is all about writers reading their own works, we went to our archives to find recordings of some more poems included in the book. We'll pick up with Dorianne Locks, co-author of The Poet's Companion. This poem comes from a 1998 interview with Robert Stewart, now the editor of New Letters magazine. A Maine native, Dorianne Locks also has spent a lot of time on the West Coast, but she's currently the poet in residence at North Carolina State University. From her book, What We Carry, a 1994 finalist for the National Book Critics Circle Award, here's Dorianne Locks with Fast Gas.
My editor actually asked me about this title after he had already printed the book. He said, what does fast gas mean? And I said, well, it's just a gas station I worked for. It was Douglas Oil. And he said, oh, he said, I thought it was some sort of digestion problem. I said, God, Al, why didn't you tell me that? I would have changed the title. So for those of you who don't know, this is the name of an actual gas station in San Diego, California. Fast Gas. Before the days of self-service, when you never had to pump your own gas, I was the one who did it for you, the girl who stepped out at the sound of a bell with a blue rag in my hand, my hair pulled back in a straight, unlovely ponytail. This was before automatic shutoffs and vapor seals, and once, while filling a tank, I hit a bubble of trapped air and the gas backed up, came arcing out of the hole in a bright gold wave and soaked me, face, breasts, belly, and legs. And I had to hurry back to the booth, the small employee bathroom with the broken lock, to change my uniform, peel the gas-soaked cloth from my skin, and wash myself in the sink. Light-headed, scrubbed raw, I felt pure and amazed. The way the amber gas glazed my flesh, the searing, subterranean pain of it, how my skin shimmered and ached, glowed like rainbowed oil on the pavement. I was 20. In a few weeks I would fall, for the first time, in love. That man waiting patiently in my future, like a red leaf on the sidewalk, the kind of beauty that asks to be noticed. How was I to know it would begin this way? Every cell of my body burning with a dangerous beauty, the air around me a nimbus of light that would carry me through the days. How when he found me weeks later, he would find me like that, an ordinary woman who could rise in flame. All he would have to do is come close and touch me.
Fast Gas by Dorianne Locks. Her newest book is the 2007 collection Facts About the Moon. For this next reading, we'll return to the writer's place where New York-born poet Alice Fryman was recorded in 2000, not long after the release of her award-winning book, Zoo. Fryman spent much of her adult life in Indianapolis until 2003 when she moved south. She's now the poet in residence at Georgia College and State Universities. Her husband, Marshall Bruce Gentry, is the editor of the Flannery O'Connor Review.
I'm really an old girl. I am. And I've got a young husband. This is called Snow. Let us speak of love and weather, subtracting nothing. Let us put your mother and mine away for a while, your dying father, my dead one. Let us watch from our bedroom window how a slow falling snow crowns all nakedness in ermine. Do not look at me yet. Your face is flushed, your eyes too love-soaked, too blue. Outside is white on black and still, the sky deaf with stillness. Don't let it frighten you. Hush. There's time enough for that. Be content for now to watch the maples fill with snow, how they spread themselves, each naked limb making itself accessible.
Alice Fryman. Her most recent collection is The Book of the Rotten Daughter from Bookmark Press. We'll end the celebration of contemporary poetry by American women with the editor of the anthology, Andrea Hollander Buddy.
When I was thinking about how difficult it was to write poems in the first place, I was also thinking about how we have this mythology that Adam named everything. And I thought about how maybe he didn't name everything. Perhaps it was Eve who named the difficult things. Here's the poem. When she named fire, it was a sound she uttered, not a considered thing, nothing her mind did. It was a sound which burned her throat to come out and announce itself for the thing that was burning outside her, where the trees had been down for years, and which lit the sky, then disappeared and changed to something black. When she named the sun, she didn't think of fire at all. Sun, she claimed, because it was huge and unexplainable, a oneness that she loved for its ability to command the whole sky and the earth too, and because it was the warmest thing she knew, and she sang its tunes and missed it every night. She didn't name the moon at all. That was the name it gave itself. At night she heard it call. To her it was another kind of sun, still white but cold, an icy light that narrows as it grows, that is not light at all. She thought she gave love's name to love, that beating thing she could not still. She might have called it bird, or fire again, for fire inside that gives no light, but burns and burns and does not stop until she touches what she loves, and then it only burns again and makes her want to name it something more.
Poet and editor Andrea Hollander Buddy, reading the title poem from her anthology When She Named Fire, published in 2009 by Autumn House Press. The first half of this show was recorded at the Writer's Place in Kansas City in September 2009. The second half of the poems from the anthology came from our archives, and the final poem was recorded thanks to Eric Ray at KCPW in Salt Lake City, where Andrea Hollander Buddy was the visiting writer in residence at Westminster College. The other poets you heard from today are Joe McDougall, Michelle Boisseau, Robin Bain, Dorianne Locks, and Alice Fryman. For a list of those names, visit our website, newletters.org/radio, and look for When She Named Fire, winner of a Clarion Award for Radio in 2011 from the Association of Women in Communications. While you're there, sign up for our free weekly podcast. If you'd rather purchase a CD, call toll-free 888-548-2477 or email radio@newletters.org. New Letters on the Air is a production of New Letters Magazine, published by the University of Missouri, Kansas City, with partial financial support from the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Here's our editor, Robert Stewart.
Have you ever wanted to write a novel or screenplay or publish your own collection of poetry? Look into the Master of Fine Arts degree in Creative Writing at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, a combined studio and research program. And study with our award-winning faculty. That's cas.umkc.edu/English. Applications due January the 15th.
Today's show was produced with help from Annie Walsh, Max Mosley, and Dennis Conroe. We'd also like to thank the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service for the Save America's Treasures grant that's allowing us to digitize our archives so we can share some of these earlier recordings with you. I'm Angela Elam. Thanks for listening to New Letters on the Air.